First of all, let's talk to the Health Minister, Edwin Poots, this morning. This is in relation to Class A drugs being decriminalised. This is the notion, at least, according to a senior UK police officer. It's never going to happen. But Chief Constable Mike Barton of Durham Police claims the war on drugs has failed, and he says drug addicts should be cared for rather than criminalised. The Minister, Edwin Poots, is with us now. What are your thoughts around this, Minister? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, there were things within the Chief Constable's statement that I could have agreed with, and he referred to the problems that is caused by binge drinking and the ready availability of alcohol. But then he wants to go down a route which I fundamentally disagree with, and that is to go away from the banning of drugs as a substance and to decriminalise it. And I think that that would be a fundamental mistake, which would lead to wider availability of drugs, easier accessibility to drugs, and consequently more damage to more people, and in particular younger people who would be having easier access to these drugs.
Can I move on, if you don't mind, to something that I know you're talking about today, the new heart attack service in Northern Ireland. Tell me about this. What's new about it?
Well, a 24/7 service which wasn't previously available. So cath labs, to simplify the whole thing, if you have a heart attack, around 40% of heart attacks in Northern Ireland are caused by either fatty tissue in your arteries or indeed a blood clot. And this is basically putting a balloon-type instrument inside you, breaking up that clot and allowing the blood to flow freely. So it is something which works exceptionally well. Currently, we use clot-busting drugs, but this is much more effective, and that is something that has been available on a 9-to-5 basis in some facilities. This is going to be 24/7.
Where is it going to be based?
It's going to be in the Royal Victoria Hospital, and that will cover 75% of Northern Ireland this year.
So the reason I'm asking that question, Minister, is that we've already had a doctor contact us this morning to say that surely until this is rolled out across the country, rural areas will be at a disadvantage, and there should be an air ambulance service available, which he says there isn't.
I think what's important is that people receive this care within 2 hours. That's the evidence base. And therefore, Northern Ireland's catchment is largely within 2 hours. What we will be doing is ensuring that there's another facility opened in the west of the province, called the Galvin Hospital. That will open next spring. And consequently, all of Northern Ireland will receive cover. Our ambulance is something that I am giving consideration to in conjunction with my counterpart in the Republic of Ireland. It doesn't stack up on a standalone basis. So what we might be looking at is something which would cover Northern Ireland plus the likes of Donegal and Sligo and some of the counties in to the south and the west.
Yeah, but what happens in between, Edwin, before we have that air ambulance, before you've decided? What's filling the gap?
Well, what happens now is that ambulance service will get people to the cath labs within the 2 hours, and that will ensure that people receive the best possible treatment. This is something which I think is an absolutely good news story. It's an excellent day for Northern Ireland that such a service will be provided. The result of it will be that many people's lives will be saved, and aside from that, many people will have years added to their life, because it is identified that whatever hours you wait after that 2 hour period will take a year off your life for each hour you have to wait.
And look, I've spoken to quite a few health professionals who would concur with you that what is important is to have a specialist unit at one location where all the up-to-date modern technology is, and that will improve your chances of surviving a heart attack, surviving something that could otherwise be fatal. However, the public perception that I guess you're up against is that as lay people, we kind of want to get to the nearest hospital. And actually, the stats would say, you know, it's sometimes better to drive past your nearest hospital and go to the specialist centre, right? But that's a perception issue.
Well, it may well be a perception issue, but if I was in Dungannon and had a heart attack, I wouldn't want to stop at Craigavon. I wouldn't want to stop at Lagan Valley. I would want to take him straight to the Royal. if it's diagnosed as a heart attack that's caused by a clot, because they'll do what needs to be done. I'll be there in roughly less than an hour, and we'll get the appropriate care and treatment. The same if I'm in Ballymoney. Please don't stop at Antrim or don't take me to Coleraine. Take me to the Royal Victoria Hospital, where they'll be able to carry that procedure out. And I'm very keen, and I have given the go-ahead, so there's no delay on my part in terms of getting both these facilities set up in Northern Ireland. You have to ensure that you have the appropriate staffing, personnel, so it can't be done overnight. But we will have 75% cover from today, and by the summer of next year, we will have 100% cover across Northern Ireland.
Can I just come back to this issue of the air ambulance? And you're right, this is a good news story for Northern Ireland. But for example, there's a doctor here, and I'll read some of his text that he has sent me. He says, introducing this without an air ambulance means people in the west of the province will have to wait until the centre opens in Altmacelvin. Why will people have more of a chance of dying instead of starting up an air ambulance now? We're the only ones without an air ambulance. If you must travel from Enniskill into Belfast, you will not make it on time, he says.
The issue of an air ambulance is quite a vexed one and has been going on for a long period of time before I came into office. And essentially, the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service believe that they can get people to the hospital in appropriate times without an air ambulance. In terms of the work that has been done identifying the benefits of an air ambulance against the other issues involved would indicate that it doesn't stack up. However, I have engaged with my counterpart in the Republic of Ireland to see what the potential is for an air ambulance to cover those border counties.
And how close are you to a decision on that?
Well, we're working on a memorandum of understanding. I think that both the Minister and myself would like it to happen. Officials are doing courses of work which will hopefully allow it to happen and make it happen. And that's something that we're given the most serious consideration.
And what's your target time scale for that?
I don't have a target time scale per se. We will be discussing this matter again. We discussed it around 3 weeks ago. We'll be discussing it again next month. It's an ongoing issue that we're working on to seek to deliver.
Okay. And just finally, before you go this morning, just to get your gut instinct, I guess, response to the big national story this morning. We've been covering it on the programme today. It's conference season. The Conservative Party have announced a dramatic change in welfare policy, Edwin, and they're going to make people who have been on the dole on benefits for 3 years or more sign in every single day of the week to the dole office. They're going to make people with mental health issues report to mandatory courses. What's your gut instinct on that? Because one of the things, as you know, Stormont's going to have to decide is whether we follow suit, parity, whether we take those policies on board. What's your gut instinct response?
Well, I think the Northern Ireland Executive's policy is that I've gone on that is to actively put the economy right at the top of our target list and seek to create jobs. Because the best way you can deal with poverty, the best way you can deal with inequality, give people the best possible chances. And by creating jobs, you're giving people the opportunity to get off the dole. I think that for many people who currently are having real difficulties getting jobs, this won't necessarily help them get jobs and be seen to be an unnecessary punishment, perhaps in some senses, cause a lot of red tape and ensure that we actually or spend more money going around in circles.
Yeah, but as a matter of principle, would you be for or against forcing those long-term unemployed to report to the dole office every day, or do you see that as a punishment?
I think the principle is that we need to ensure people are working effectively to get jobs. I don't believe that it's right that if there's jobs available here in Northern Ireland, people in Northern Ireland aren't taking those jobs. So we need to have encouragement, and indeed we need to have some carrot and stick. Whether this approach is the right one or not, I'm not convinced at this point. I think that there's many, many people out there who are currently looking for jobs, desperately wanting jobs, and are finding it really difficult.
And for example, this just finally, Minister, this is in your domain. Would you have a concern when you hear that people with mental health difficulties will lose their benefits if they refuse to go to mandatory courses for their mental health issue? And they will lose those benefits for up to 3 months if they refuse a second time not to go. Is that the best way to approach people with a mental health issue?
Well, I think that people need to recognise that mental health is an issue like any other health issue. And if someone has other health issues, they're going to ask them to come in as well. People with mental health issues need that support, they need that assistance. And for many, getting back into work will actually be good for their mental health. But we need to be very, very cautious, very, very careful how we deal with people with mental health issues. And certainly I don't think some broad brush approach is the appropriate approach to take when it comes to people who are suffering from mental health issues.
Okay. Minister, thank you very much indeed. That's Edwin Poots at 8 minutes to 10.